Senate will come to order. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Roll call for Tuesday, February 16th. Anderson.
Here.
Bebout.
Here.
Burns.
Here.
Case.
Here.
Coe.
Here.
Cooper.
Here.
Dockstader.
Here.
Elliott.
Here.
Esquibel.
Here.
Geis.
Here.
Hastert.
Here.
Honeycutt.
Here.
Jennings.
Here.
Johnson.
Here.
Landon.
Here.
Larson.
Here.
Martin.
Here.
Massey.
Here.
Meyer.
Here.
Meyer-S.
Here.
Nicholas.
Here.
Perkins.
Here.
Peterson.
Here.
Ross.
Here.
Schiffer.
Here.
Scott.
Here.
Sessions.
Here.
Townsend.
Here.
Von Slatern.
Here.
President Hines.
Here.
30 present.
Prayer by Reverend Bike.
O God, the fountain of wisdom, whose will is good and gracious, and whose law is truth, we beseech you so to guide and bless our senators assembled, that they may enact such laws as shall please you, to the glory of your name and the welfare of this people. In your name we pray. Amen.
Senators, today we have a special treat. The kindergarten class from Cheyenne Dildine Elementary School is here to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Will you please join me in welcoming these young students and their teachers and parents? Thank you all for leading us in the pledge today. We are glad that you have joined us and proud of your efforts to memorize these important words. Thank you. Will the reading clerk please read the journal committee report?
Mr. President, your journal committee reports that the journal of February the 15th, 2010, has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Dockstader, Chairman.
Are there any objections? There being none, the report is adopted. Senator Nicholas.
President, if I may have the privilege of the floor. Ladies and gentlemen, as we move through the week for the JSC, or not the joint, for the Senate Appropriations Committee, We're going to probably go off the floor today at 3 and start hearing all the bills to make sure that any bills with appropriations that are re-referred are off or through the committee. Remember, re-referrals do not require the same notification. So here's the bills that are up for today. I apologize, I don't think the list got published, but we're going to, at 3 o'clock, we're going to begin hearing Senate File 39, Post-Secondary Education Options Program. Senate File 48, Licensures of Midwifes. Senate File 52, Reducing Cigarette Ignition Propensity. That's an interesting name. Senate File 61, Health Insurance Reform 2. Senate File 66 is Industrial Siting Amendments. It was scheduled for this evening, but we're going to hear it tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. The JAC has a commitment to listen to a presentation from ANI for the employee compensation program at 4. I apologize for the inconvenience, but we've got to do that as well as getting these bills out. We'll pick up some more bills tomorrow at 8 to 10, so as they get re-referred to us today, we'll schedule some more on between 8 and 10, and then anything else that comes to us, we'll schedule at the time of adjournment, remembering that the last day for bills to be reported out of committee is Thursday, so as you're getting these bills with re-referrals, just talk to us, we'll be getting them through. So those are the bills up for today, 66 tomorrow, and anything that gets re-referred to us today, Mr. President, we'll find a time tomorrow to get it get them on for hearing. Thank you.
Thank you.
I think we'll be up in the Revenue Committee up on the left here, and if that changes, we'll let you know. And what we can do is for people's if General File continues while we're up there. You don't need to come and wait. What we'll do is we'll send somebody down to get the sponsor to bring them up, so you don't have to sit waiting for us. We'll let you know one at a time. So we won't go on without the bill sponsors, and we'll find you.
Thank you. Doctor of the day, Gary Smith, MD from Cheyenne. We have no nurse. Glad to have you here today, Doctor. Let's welcome him. Thought for the day from the Wyoming Historical Calendar on this day in history, 1890, Robert C. Morris suggested the Equality State as a fitting nickname for the state. Reports from standing committees.
February the 16th, 2010, Mr. President, your committee number 4, Education, to whom was referred House Bill 48, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Cole, Jennings, Massey, Sessions, Von Flader, and Senator Cole, Chairman. February the 16th, 2010, Mr. President, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 2, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Massey, C. Myers, Nicholas Peterson, and Townsend, Senator Nicholas, Chairman. February the 16th, 2010, Mr. President, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 35, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Massey, C. Myers, Nicholas Peterson, no, Senator Townsend, Senator Nicholas, Chairman. February the 16th, 2010, Mr. President, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 36, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Massey, C. Meyer, Nicholas Peterson, Townsend, Senator Meyer, acting chairman. February the 16th, 2010, Mr. President, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to to whom was referred Senate File 69, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Massey, C. Meyer, Nicholas Peterson, Townsend, Senator Nicholas, Chairman. February the 16th, 2010, Mr. President, Committee Number 2, to whom was referred Senate File 72, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senator C. Meyer, Nicholas Peterson, Townsend. No, Senator Massey, Senator Nicholas, Chairman. February the 16th, 2010. Mr. President, your Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 75, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Massey, C. Meyer, Nicholas Peterson, Townsend, Senator Nicholas, Chairman. February the 16th, 2010, Mr. President, your Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred Senate File 62, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Dockstader, Escobel, Geis, Landon, Von Fladern, Senator Von Fladern, Chairman. February the 16th, 2002, Mr. President, your Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highway, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred Senate File 56, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Dockstader, Escobel, Geis, Landon, Von Fladern, Senator Von Fladern, Chairman. February the 16th, 2010, Mr. President, your Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred Senate File 64, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Dockstader, Escobel, Geis, Landon, Von Fladern, Senator Von Fladern, Chairman. February the 16th, 2010, Mr. President, your Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred Senate File 71, reports back with a recommendation that it Escobel, Geis, Landon, Von Fladern, Senator Von Fladern, Chairman.
Bills on second reading. Senate File 9, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 9, sponsored by the Judiciary, Juvenile Detention Facility Standards.
There is an amendment. Reading clerk, please read the amendment.
Senate File 9, second reading amendment number 1, page 1, line 4.
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. President, I'd move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 9. Mr. President, what this amendment does, this deals with the process of facilities for juveniles, for holding juveniles. And what this does, it goes in and exempts the two state institutions, namely the boys' school and the girls' school. Right now, both of those institutions are in good shape in terms of compliance with safety and holding and security and those things. We've done a good job of at those state institutions. My fear is that if they start applying the criteria that the sheriffs are going to come up with, I want to make sure that everyone knows that those two state institutions are standalone and are exempt. I'd be happy to answer any questions and ask for your favorable support.
Further discussion on the amendment? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Amendment passed.
Senate File 9, second reading amendment number 2, page 1, line 15.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, move adoption of this amendment. Mr. President, this amendment does two things. It goes in on page 1 and changes the language, so instead of being based upon these national criteria, it's after consideration of the national criteria. That's so that they have a little more flexibility to adapt to local circumstances and, frankly, to common sense. And I understand there's several competing criteria, which I think is you got to look at all of them and pick and choose and adapt. And then on page 3, there was the date there was messed up, and you had the report as it stands right now. You had the report, the Judiciary Committee coming after the implementation date, and that was not apparently the intention. And what we've gone to is the report now will be in November of 2012, and then with this amendment, the implementation date goes to March 31, 2013. So if there's a problem where we need to change something legislatively, we've got that budget session to do it. Mr. President, stand for questions.
Senator Sessions.
Mr. Chairman, my feelings about this is I would prefer the based upon, and I'll tell you why. We know that these are very well established standards. We know that they've been put in place across this country, and we know that it has helped our juveniles when they end up in a detention center. We know that they're safe, and we know that the expectation is in place of how they'll be treated. I feel that for us to go in and say that we don't have that same high expectations for our kids is a wrong thing to do. And for those reasons, and I don't have any problems with the dates. I think that's a moot point. But what is how we define those standards. And I guess I have real problems with lessening what we want to require of those kids held in this state, because they are worth more than that. And I know there's some discussion about you shouldn't be telling us how to do this. We'll run our own detention centers and on. I've read the articles in the paper, but I'm telling you from what I know over the last 20 years of how we hold kids, I would prefer that we don't lessen our expectations. And if the date is a problem, then we can come back on third reading and change the date. That's my feelings about it. I don't think we ought to lessen anything of what we expect. You had the information on your desk about what we're paying for court-ordered placements, about the reentry rate that they call it, the whole thing. And I just would urge us not to lessen those standards or our expectations of what should come out of this. Thank you.
Further discussion? Senator Scott, for your second time.
Mr. President, for my second time, I do think it's important that we make sure that the sheriffs and police chiefs that develop these standards know that they do have some latitude to deviate so it works for Wyoming, so that they can look at the several standards, and apparently there are several, and take from one and the other and modify things to make it fit. And that I am concerned that the experts do tend to gold plate these things, and sometimes a little dose of common sense is needed. I don't think that we're running any risks for the children involved. I think we'll get a good set of standards, and we'll have a legislative session to correct it if need be.
The question is, shall second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 9 pass? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Amendment has passed. Senate File 9 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered.
Point of order. Mr. President, I think you said Senate File.
Is it Senate File 9?
Yeah.
Senate File 9.
I'm sorry. I need to get my hearing aids adjusted.
Senate File 18. Second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 18, sponsored by the Corporations Committee, Limited Liability Companies Revision.
Senate File 18, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Senate File 22, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 22, sponsored by the Transportation Committee, State Active Duty Medical Expense Reimbursement.
Senate File 22, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Senate File 26, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 26, sponsored by Senator Case, Eligibility Concealed Weapons Permit.
Senator Case.
Mr. President, I'd like to give the members of the Senate a little bit of a heads up. There is continuing discussion between gun advocacy groups and the group that represents sheriffs and police officers, as well as the executive branch, all about the issue of whether if we remove sort of the Attorney General's authority to look and prescribe on the similarity or the not being as least restrictive laws of other states as to whether or not that would jeopardize reciprocity. The as it currently stands, the Attorney General's office, the Governor's office, and the Sheriff's and Police Organization all believe that if we were to remove that language, it jeopardizes reciprocity with other states. The very large organization that represents gun owners believes that that would not jeopardize reciprocity. And so I don't have a definitive answer. None of those organizations have been able to show me definitively. So there is a proposed amendment. It's not here today. It's likely to be it's not that huge, but that's the concept that will be offered as an amendment tomorrow on third reading, and at that time, I hope to actually have a definitive answer to give you. And that's the best I can do is to give you this heads up. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senate File 26, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Senate File 31, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 31, sponsored by Senator Bebout, Federal Natural Resources Policy Account.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President. My colleague from Laramie County asked something yesterday about the amount of money that had been spent in that account in the previous several years. I do not have that. I've asked for it. I'm trying to get it. I hopefully will have it tomorrow before third reading.
Senate File 31, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Senate File 37, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 37, sponsored by Select Water, Omnibus Water Bill Construction.
There is an amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
Senate File 37, second reading amendment number 1, page 22 after line 40.
Senator Geis.
Mr. President, I move standing committee with number 2 and number 1 and standing committee number 2, Senate File 37. We made a little mistake here in the amendment is in Wyoming Statute 99-3-1106B. The money comes out of account 2, and when we reverted it back, it went back into account 1, and we want this money to revert back into account 2. And that's all this amendment does.
Question on the amendment. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Amendment passed. Senate File 37. Haven't been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Senate File 42, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 42, sponsored by the Education Committee, School Finance Student Enrichment Instruction.
Senate File 42 having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Senate File 51, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 51, sponsored by Senator Anderson, official state code.
Senate File 51, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Senate File 63, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 63, sponsored by C. Meyer, Irrigation Districts Assessment.
Senate File 63, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Bills on third reading and final passage. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do we have a consent list?
Yes, Mr. President, we do. The third reading consent list for today is as follows. Senate File 8, Medical Support of Children. Senate File 24, Community-Based In-Home Services. Senate File 28, State Loan and Investment Board Loan Refinancing. Senate File 43, Game and Fish Special Hunting Season Extension. Senate File 47, Perimutuel Wagering Simulcasting.
Consent list today is Senate File 8, Medical Support of Children. Senate File 24, Community-Based In-Home Services. Senate File 28, Home Loan and Investment Board Loan Refinancing. Senate File 43, Game and Fish Special Hunting Season Extension. And Senate File 47, Perimutuel Wagering Simulcasting. Would anyone like any of these bills removed from the list? Senator Jennings.
Senate File 8,
please, Mr. President. Senate File 8. Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? Senate File 24, Senate File 28, Senate File 43, and Senate File 47. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Elliott.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Honeycutt.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Johnson. Landon,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
Massey,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Meyer-S,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
no.
Sessions,
aye.
Townsend,
aye.
Bonflatern,
aye.
President Hines.
Aye.
On the consent list, 29 ayes, 1 no. Senate File 24, are there any changes?
Scott, no to aye.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 24, 30 ayes. Senate File 28, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 28, 29 ayes, 1 no. Senate File 43, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 43, 29 ayes, 1 no. Senate File 47, are there any changes?
Jennings, no.
Jennings, aye to no. Meyer S., aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 47, 27 ayes, 3 noes.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the member elected to the Senate, Senate File 24, Senate File 28, Senate File 43, and Senate File 47 have passed the Senate. Senate File 8, third reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 8, sponsored by the Judiciary Committee, Medical Support of Children, an act relating to child support, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Any discussion on the bill? Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. I asked for Senate File 8 to be removed from the consent list because we had a good system in Wyoming, and we continue to send our tax dollars to Washington, and they come back with strings attached to them. Sooner or later, we're going to have to realize in all the states that if we continue to do this, then we'll continue to be at their will. Some things aren't for sale, and today, I draw the line, and I'm not going to support any more federal mandates. Thank you.
Are you ready for the question? Senate File 8, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
No.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
No.
Elliott?
Aye.
Esquibel? Geis?
No.
Hastert?
Aye.
Honeycutt?
Aye.
Jennings?
No.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
No.
Larson?
Aye.
Martin?
Aye.
Massey?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Meyer S?
Aye.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
Aye.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott? Sessions?
Aye.
Townsend?
No.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Hines?
Aye.
Cooper, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 19 ayes, 11 noes.
Senate File 8, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 8 has passed the Senate. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we are at that order of business, considerations of bills on general file.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that the Senate resolve itself into the Committee of the Whole.
You've heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Motion carried. Senator Honeycutt, will you take the chair, please?
Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 32. Would the clerk please read the bill?
Senate File 32, sponsored by the Labor Committee, Wyoming Investment in Nursing Extension, an act relating to the administration of government. It was referred to Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Hastert, Honeycutt, Landon, and Scott. No, Senator Schiffer, Senator Scott, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, I move in the committee to rise and report it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 32 do pass. There was a standing committee amendment. I ask it be read in at this time.
Will the reading clerk please read the amendment?
Senate File 32, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 1, line 3.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Scott, or Senator Scott.
Chairman, move adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment. Mr. Chairman, what the Standing Committee Amendment does is remove the appropriation. The situation there, at the time the Joint Interim Committee put this bill into final, the report we had was that the budget did not include the second year funding for the program because the sunset date came halfway through the biennium. Subsequent to the joint committee's voting to sponsor the bill, the second year appropriation was included in the governor's recommendations, and I talked to Bill Mai up in the LSO, who confirmed to me that that was in the governor's recommendations and was in the budget. So we think the budget is the appropriate place to deal with any appropriations related to this program. So to avoid double funding, we're removing it here. That's what the amendment does. That's all the amendment does. Question.
Question is being called for. Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Scott's motion to adopt the Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 32, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Mr. Chairman?
The amendment is passed. Senator Scott?
Chairman, I yield to Senator Hastert for an explanation of the bill.
I'm trying, Senator Hastert. Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the Senate. Senate File 32, Wyoming Investment in Nursing Extension, and what we did is this program was set to sunset on June 30th, 2011. The bill now simply extends the program out to 2015, where we'll have to take another look at it at that time. Mr. Chairman, as already stated, the appropriation was removed on it because it's now been profiled, so we no longer needed that. Mr. Chairman, the WIN program, the Wyoming Investment in Nursing, has been an excellent program that has worked well for quite some time in helping with the shortfall in the nursing industry. Currently, right now, the program not only provide scholarships for those that need to, that are desired to get into the nursing profession, but there's one other piece to it that is unusual and unlike any other kind of scholarship or grant programs. We also fund instructors through this program. Now, there's a reason we do that, because this program and the nursing program is considerably different than many others, and it's necessary to do this. One little piece that comes into play on this is that for every 8 students, once they get into the clinical setting, that instructor can only handle 8 students. So in order to facilitate the demand, the need to get these individuals trained, once they get into clinical settings, and when they're heading out in the clinical settings, Mr. Chairman, that's when they are putting needles and tubes and doing all kinds of things. So the supervision is held to a minimum. So unlike other scholarships or other types of training, and other disciplines, this is unique, and hence why the program also pays for additional faculty in the course of the program, Mr. Chairman. The program has worked well. I've just distributed to your desks a document that shows that in 2009, the graduates from all of the major colleges, we have the percent of graduates employed after graduation, and every one of them is at 100%, and then the percent of graduates employed in Wyoming after graduation, and you can all see that is, some very high numbers, from 95% to 73%. And then, Mr. Chairman, it also shows the number of applicants accepted from out-of-state schools. We're still seeing a shortage in nursing, and this is a quality of care issue. As we train these nurses into this field and getting out working in the field into the hospitals, and nurses certainly, we see nurses in so many different types of areas. I mean, not only hospitals and nursing homes, but out in industry also. So there's a wide range of places that you see the nurses, and we're still seeing a need. And as you can see, we've demonstrated that, the program's working well. We are placing these individuals. And so with that, Mr. Chairman, I'll stand for questions.
Senator Schiffer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I was a no vote on this bill. This is an excellent program, by the way. It's done exactly what we wanted it to do. It has created a number of nurses for this state. However, like many programs, it's not needed. A couple things come to mind. About a month and a half ago, there's two major medical centers in this state, one in Natrona County and one in this county. The facility in Natrona County, and this made a statewide radio program as a news item, had filled all their nursing positions, all of them. That tells you, that's almost unheard of in the world of delivering medical care. But they've done it. We have plenty of nurses out there, as a matter of fact. The other day, Sunday, I got on the internet, said, how many nursing jobs are open in this state? For registered nurses, 121. Licensed practical nurses and vocational nurses, 18. Nursing instructors, 5. Nursing aides, orderlies, and attendants, 30. Physician's assistants, and granted, I'm broadening it out to cover as many as I can. A total of 183 vacancies statewide. That is an incredibly low number. Hello. What happens if this program goes away? And understand, for the biennium, this is about a $5.8 million program, general fund money, of which the bulk goes to subsidizing instructors. The per year, $1.9 million goes into paying instructors. Actual scholarships is less than $1 million. What happens if it goes away? We'll drop back down to the 2003 level of nursing education. That's what happens. Which means we'll graduate roughly 430 nurses a year. In the program. 215 every year. Roughly half and half. That's the level we'll end up with. That's assuming that neither the university nor the community colleges, who provide this education, say, wait a minute, we've got a demand there, let's keep these instructors, which they can do, absolutely on their own. That's the normal way of funding a program. We instituted this program in 2003 to boost that level. We've been successful. I submit to you the program is a great program. It did what we intended, but it's not needed anymore. Times are different now than 2003. Dollars are harder to come by. Where do you start cutting? You start cutting on most programs because the changing times are not needed anymore. It's a tough choice. It's a policy decision on our part, whether you want it. There are some other things that could be done in this program. I agree. The 8-to-1 ratio in clinical settings, I support that 100%. That's quality. But remember, folks, that that's only part of a nurse's education. A great deal of the nurse's education is classroom settings. Because of the way we've structured this program, there is no cross-service lines between the community colleges to provide the classroom settings statewide. We do it in the most inefficient way possible. Clinical settings keep the 8-to-1. Classroom settings can all be done via teleconferencing, via the computerized classroom. That's the way it's normally done. The program needs to be looked at and streamlined if we want to go forward with it. Again, I suggest to you, we don't need it anymore. We drop back to the 2003 level. We will graduate plenty of nurses to meet our needs in this state. A tough decision, a policy decision. I think it's the kind of thing we got to look at.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, it is a tough decision. We do have right now less of a shortage in nursing than we have had for some time. Partly because the programs worked, but more importantly, because of the national recession we're in. The other job opportunities that have drawn people out of the nursing profession into other professions and created some of the shortage just aren't there to the extent that they have been. And the recession has made the hospitals super cautious in their hiring. So with those two factors, we are temporarily seeing less demand. Now, there's still a demand. You heard the number of vacant positions there are. There's still a demand. But temporarily, the shortage is not as great as it has been. I think that we should not be fooled by this. I think it's a temporary blip. The economy is going to recover no matter what Washington does to it. The economy has considerable resilience to it, and I think we can look forward to a recovery in the next few years. It may be slower than we like. It may not be quite as robust as we like, but the job opportunities are coming back, and there has been and continues to be a national shortage of nurses. And nursing education, like much of medical education, it's expensive. It's costly for the schools that do it because it requires a lot of hands-on, one-on-one instruction, just in the nature of what they're trying to teach. And so there's always trouble getting enough instructional opportunity in this kind of area, as more trouble than there is elsewhere because it costs more for students to do. Just in the nature of the beast. So I think in terms of making sure that we continue to meet the Wyoming need, and I do ask you to look around the room, the chamber, the population of Wyoming is aging. And we all know that the demand in the future is going to be going up. We're going to need these nurses. And it also seems to me you need to look at it from the other perspective. Mr. Chairman, we've got many young people coming along in this state, and this is a profession that is a very good choice in terms of a career And the need and the demand for nursing is not going to go away. And I think, again, just because there's a temporary downturn in the demand for the upcoming nurses, and I understand they're still all getting jobs, so the downturn in the demand isn't that great. But I think it would be a mistake to not continue this particular program. I urge your support of the bill.
Senator Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A couple of things of note here. In this program, according to the statutes, if we train a nurse in the WIN program, and one of the things that we didn't really talk about in committee very well was the fact that if a nurse trainee accepts WIN money, then she's obligated to stay, or he or she's obligated to stay in the state of Wyoming. If they leave the state of Wyoming, in our statutes, there's a payback provision in there. So, you know, it's not like we're training individuals to leave the state or for other states with this money. This is money and individuals that are staying in the state. And as you see with the handout that I have, that we're still placing 100%. In 2009, every college placed 100% of those applicants. That means that an average age for the RNs right now is 51 years old. You know, the projection is that, as a good senator from Natrona County pointed out, that our population is increasing and the age of the population is increasing, and demands for nursing is going to be ever increasing, no matter what the economy is. And yes, the number of applications or number of job applications out there right now for nurses might be down right now, the number of requests, but we don't know how inclusive that is, and we don't know how that spreads out into all areas and, you know, in all nurses' positions in all areas. You know, as far as how they train nurses, you know, I'm certain that there has been there's a lot of technology that has upgraded over the years, along with all other disciplines. My understanding is the equipment that they're seeing in the college is superior to the equipment they're seeing in the hospitals in some cases. And yes, the lecture component of that, you can use that, you can have a lot higher number of student to instructor ratio, but it's really the clinical settings that where you get the real demand on that. And, you know, they have online capabilities. They have simulation labs in many schools. But there's really no substitute for the hands-on in the clinical portion. And I think you'd all want your nurse to be trained in that type, you know, have that kind of training when he or she is coming to you and if you have to go to a hospital setting. So just simply remember that, you know, we have a great program, as it's been stated. We're still graduating and we're still placing 100%. The average age is 51 years old. They're getting older, and the nurses, as they get into their 50s, they're having a tough time. Not a profession that you can, you know, that allows itself necessarily to get into and stay in for into the latter 50, simply because it's a physically demanding job. The 12-hour shifts and the demands on them take their toll, and so nurses tend to retire a lot of times at a younger age. So, Mr. Chairman, I certainly ask for your support of this bill and extend this program.
Senator Meyer, S. Meyer.
Mr. Chairman, on and for this bill, I've worked in the medical profession, and I can tell you that although we graduate some of these nurses, or many nurses, they don't always stay in the field. And as a result, sometimes the numbers aren't accurate. And if we have 180 vacancies, from which maybe I misunderstood, but if there are 180 vacancies, we do have needs, and they may not be in our larger cities, but I know in the rural areas, I think that there is a need. One of the things, too, is when we don't have nurses, what happens? They have to hire traveling nurses. And traveling nurses are extremely expensive, and I know all of us are concerned about the cost of healthcare. So I urge you to pass this bill, We do need to continue to train nurses because there will be a shortage at some point in time, and as we already know, there still is a shortage. So I urge you to pass this bill.
Senator Schiffer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I do agree with both of my colleagues. We are getting older. Maybe we're too old to talk twice on the same bill. I don't know. A couple things. The testimony in committee was the normal turnover for nurses, at least at the two big medical centers, about 20%. That's normal, and I think that's normal industry-wide. But the second thing is that, now let's face it, if you want to get more nurses, you ought to pay them better. Wyoming is notorious. We're number one in the wage discrepancy between men and women for the same job. We've held that title for a long while, unfortunately, because it's nothing to be proud of. Well, fair question is, where do we rate when we pay nurses? We rate 43rd. That's nothing to be proud of. If you want more nurses, pay them right. Pay them a livable wage. And this state has a policy, maybe informal, maybe unrecognized, don't pay nurses. Well, if you don't pay them right, you're not going to get them. That's the way it works. When you're 47th in the pay scale, and you're number one in the wage discrepancy between males and females doing the same job, it's time to really look at it and say, where are we headed with this? I don't know whether the educational model can be changed. I doubt it. But again, let me reiterate, in the clinical setting, I'm all for the 8-to-1. It's great. It's good education. It's appropriate. But in the classroom setting, we could streamline this program and probably do it much more efficiently and have the same quality. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I guess I have some concerns along the line of the government picking out a profession to subsidize the output of that profession or the number of people in that profession. And sometimes when that happens, you get these market distortions, and you really find out it probably doesn't work unless you continue to subsidize the rest of their career. And where you would find out that it's not working is if there was evidence that, for example, there's a lot of people that started out as nurses and then later left that career. And my understanding is that in Wyoming, there are a lot of nurses that no longer, even though they might be licensed, they no longer actually are in the job market for nursing, most notoriously for two reasons. It's a terribly hard job. It is a terribly hard job. And secondly, the pay is poor. And if the pay is poor, are we really doing these people a service by subsidizing their education to go into a line of work that they don't stay in? And maybe the sponsor on the second and third readings can give us an indication of how many nurses' licenses there have been issued and which people are no longer practicing. And we had that data on a previous evolution of this program. And I recall that it was very significant that a lot of nurses, although they were well-trained, the job opportunities were the real problem. If the job opportunities are the real problem, it doesn't do any real good to Wyoming to put people into jobs that they eventually are unhappy with because of the pay and working conditions. Maybe we ought to work on the pay and working conditions, especially in our government-run nursing employing entities in Wyoming.
Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And with regard to working conditions and wages, it would cost an enormous amount of money. I mean, it's a good idea. But if we're going to do that, we're going to have to do that through Medicaid, through the CHIP program and through a lot of other public programs that will cost a great deal of money in order to bring those wages up. Indeed, the wages for nurses in Wyoming remains depressed, just like it was in 2003. Working conditions are not good. Many other states have passed laws which specify that in nursing homes and assisted living facilities that you only can have so many number of patients per nurse. We don't have that in the state of Wyoming. And some of the working conditions in our nursing homes and assisted living facilities are very, very difficult. And because of the recession that we're in, there's not a lot of job applications out there right now, but that doesn't mean there isn't a lot of need. As a matter of fact, if I remember correctly, the last report on nursing by our labor research division in the Wyoming Department of Employment indicates that not only is there a shortage, but Wyoming is likely to have the most acute shortage of nurses 10 to 15 years from now. And as the senator from Natrona County mentioned, that's as a result of many of us retiring and needing care. Another good thing that nurses bring to the table is primary care. And that's going to be one of the most important pieces of health care that we can provide in this state in the future. We're going to hear some proposals about increasing the number of medical students that go through WAMI. And that's important. We need to do that. But folks who go through physician training programs are less likely every year to graduate and go into primary care. Many of them are going into specialties, and that includes the students from Wyoming who are going through our WAMI program. So as a result, nurse and nurse practitioners are forming much more of a foundation for our primary care health system in the state of Wyoming. Finally, Mr. Chairman, what I would again urge folks to take a look at is something that we didn't have here back in 2003. And that's that table that was distributed with regard to retention. We were training nurses in 2003, but as soon as they graduated, they were out of here. They went to states that had higher wages and better working conditions than Wyoming. The fact that we now have the lowest college at 73% and the highest at 95%, where two of them are, as well as a very high retention rate at the University of Wyoming, is really quite remarkable in a short period of time. It demonstrates that the best way to overcome low wages and bad working conditions isn't necessarily means pouring tens and hundreds of millions or more dollars into Medicaid. It means providing Wyoming nurses with a Wyoming education, and they'll stay in our Wyoming communities. This is a good program, and every piece of information that we have available indicates that it's going to be even more important as we gray and go into the future.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, I think the senators in the back row that have spoken bring us a valid economic analysis. If you get rid of this program, decrease the number of nurses, meet the needs, the hospitals in particular are going to have to compete for what they absolutely have to have. They're going to see where they can get by. But they're going to compete for what they absolutely have to have by raising the wages. What's the effect be? Well, they probably will get the nurses they need if they raise them enough. They'll be competing. Now, these nurses are well-educated people with good skills, and they are in demand elsewhere, even outside the nursing profession. And we're losing some to other places. But when they pay a high enough wage to compete in a reduced supply market, they're going to have to get the money from somewhere. They don't get it from the government programs. We asked in committee, and the hospital association said, well, 40% of their market share was Medicare. And I think they were talking in terms of revenue, not activity. I think in activity terms it had been higher. We had some back and forth on that, and they were somewhat inconclusive on that. But Medicare is the major program they've got. Medicare won't pay more. Your costs go up, Medicare won't pay more, just it's tough. The same is true of our state Medicaid program, which is constrained by the Medicare payments. There's a thing called the upper payment limit, and it's more than a little complicated, but basically we're constrained by what the feds do in Medicare. So where are they going to have to go? They aren't going to go to the people who can't pay. They can't pay what they're being charged now. They're going to come and raise the rates for people who are insured privately, for people who pay for their health care privately. And the rates are going to go up, and our uninsured problem is going to get worse. Our medical inflation is going to get worse, and you're going to get hit there. And you're going to be denying quite a number of young people a career opportunity. So you got a trade-off. I think the better side of that trade-off is to continue the program, make the opportunities continue to be available, and don't add to the medical inflation.
Are you ready for the question? Question has been called for. All those in favor of Senator Scott's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 32, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Senate File 32 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for your consideration is Senate File 50.
Senate File 50, sponsored by Senator Scott, Hospital Privileges, and Act Relating to Hospital Privileges for Health Care Providers. It was referred to Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Hastert, Honeycutt, Schiffer, and Scott. No, Senator Landon. Senator Scott, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Scott?
Mr. Chairman, I move when the Committee of the Whole rise and report it do so with a recommendation that Senate File 50 do pass. There was a standing committee amendment. I ask it be read in at this time.
Will the clerk please read the amendment?
Senate File 50, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 2, line 5.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Scott.
Chairman, I move the standing committee amendment. Mr. Chairman, the Standing Committee Amendment does two things. The first thing is just a technical correction. We refer to advanced practice nurses. We're told that the technical term is advanced practice registered nurses, so it makes that change. The second item is a little more substance. We add a sentence here so that the hospitals can accommodate the federal government. It turns out that the federal government has some requirements as to who can admit to hospitals designed probably to protect some of the professions involved, probably increases the cost in the Medicare program, but we can't change the feds. And what the sentence you see here allows the hospitals to make any special provisions they need to deal with the regulations that govern government programs like Medicare. Mr. Chairman, I stand for questions on the amendment. I urge its adoption.
Question has been called for. All those in favor of Senator Senator Sessions.
Talk to numbers of people over refusal of patients in our Wyoming hospitals or mainly clinics. I'm asking with the granting of the privilege of making these bylaws, is there a chance then that we can within the bylaws, we can refuse services to people if they cannot pay a certain amount as Medicare patients or Medicaid patients? Would that be a thing that would be happening under the giving people the right to do bylaws?
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, it's partly on the amendment and partly on the bill. The answer is no. The ability to have the bylaws is there under existing statute. It cannot be abused that way. In the hospital setting, you'd violate a different federal law. Apparently, it's a problem in some of the clinic settings, but that's a different subject for a different bill. This bill and this amendment does not affect that.
Any other discussion? Question has been called for. All those in favor of Senator Scott's motion to adopt a standing committee number 1 to Senate File 50, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The amendment has passed. We are back on the bill.
Explain the bill. There is an existing provision, which you see here in the bill, on who can have privileges, matter of right, in Wyoming hospitals, public hospitals. The language, the changes here, the sum just cleanup of language, this sum that where we're including hospitals that take public funds in this. It's not a significant change, I don't think. There's a provision that when they have bylaws and rules and regulations, they have to be consistent with this section. There was a specific problem we were aware of where there was a contention that they could use their bylaws to ignore the provisions of the statute. Didn't seem correct to us, but just to make sure that loophole is closed with the language on line 10. And then we added advanced practice registered nurses to the list of professions that can have the privileges in hospitals. And that's important on several fronts. One, we have in this state a shortage of primary care providers and a general shortage of providers, with some exceptions. And it's going to get worse. We have troubles recruiting because Medicare discriminates against Wyoming in its reimbursement policies so they can make more money elsewhere. We don't have tort reform in this state, and all our surrounding states do. And both of those factors make it harder to recruit medical doctors, in particular to Wyoming. And in addition, there is a national shortage of primary care physicians, and I've listened to the experts at our medical school at the University of Washington talk on this subject. It's going to get worse, going to get considerably worse before it gets better. And there are all kinds of reasons for it, but it's a national problem, and we have difficulty competing nationally. So we're going to have a shortage. So what this bill does is it adds the advanced practice registered nurse to that laundry list. Now, that has some practical consequences. It makes this a more attractive place for advanced practice registered nurses to practice. Now, they have this same provision in other states. I've asked for a list of those other states. The testing committee was a majority of the other states, but I haven't got the list yet. I'm seeking that. And we have some problems. We had testimony in committee, and I heard it privately too, that in some of the hospitals in this state, when somebody who goes to an advanced practice nurse as their primary care provider goes in the hospital, that nurse can come in and visit them just as you or I could come in and visit them, but she can't participate in the care because she doesn't have any privileges. And that seems to vary from hospital to hospital in the state. But that's a real problem for continuity of care. And it is a restriction on the practice of these nurses. And I'll give you, Mr. Chairman, one personal example. A year or so ago, my doctor persuaded me I ought to have a stress test just to make sure there weren't any possible cardiac problems. As a diabetic, I would be at risk for that. And those are done in our community at the hospital. That's where the equipment is. That's where the backup is in case the stress test triggers something, like a heart attack. And a nurse with the right kind of training could administer that test. It would be much better done in the hospital because, again, that's where the equipment is, that's where the backup is if you get in trouble. Can't in our community. The hospital won't let them in the door. There will be some things that the advanced practice nurse will be able to do that they're now precluded from if you grant them these privileges. So, Mr. Chairman, I urge the Senate to adopt the bill. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? Senator C. Meyer.
Chairman, I was just wondering what the cost of medical malpractice for hospitals would be if you dictate that people with, I guess, less advanced degrees now have the ability to have privileges where they didn't before. Wouldn't that open up the hospital to perhaps higher malpractice insurance costs?
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, don't have any evidence that that's the case. The insurance companies base their rates on experience, and we don't see any evidence that they will, in fact, experience more troubles and more claims. They do need to have proper procedures, both on the part of the admitting person, whether it's a physician or a dentist under the current list, or an advanced practice nurse. They need to be able to refer things that are beyond the scope of their practice. And the hospitals particularly need to have the protocols that say, under these circumstances, this is when you call the backup in. Because advanced practice nurse, primary care physician, you have a heart attack, you need the cardiologist. You have a cancer problem, you may well need the surgeon. That's beyond their scope of practice. That's not what they'll do. So shouldn't be any increase that we're aware of.
Senator Coe.
Mr. Chairman, I think we need to be very, very careful with this bill. What this bill does, it gives full admitting privileges to advanced nurses. Do I agree that we have a problem in the primary sector out there in the rural areas of Wyoming with primary care? Absolutely. There's a shortage of doctors. Question in this bill, do you want to give full admitting privileges to these nurses in the hospitals of the state of Wyoming? Now, I guess I wonder why a physician couldn't do that, because I don't know of any hospitals that exist out there today that don't have access to physicians, even the small hospitals. And I'll cite maybe up in Bighorn County where they have two very small ones. But I'm not sure that these nurses have the type of professional training that physicians and other doctors do to be able to admit patients to any of our hospitals in the state. So I urge caution on this bill. I'm not quite sure it's exactly the road we want to follow. So be very, very careful how you consider this bill.
Senator Johnson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I have VA privileges out at the local VA hospital, well, at any VA hospital. And for many years, my primary care person out there was an advanced practice nurse. And a couple of years ago, they moved me over to a physician. The reason they moved me over to the physician is that the advanced practice nurse is in charge of all of the brain injury patients that we're getting back from the sandbox and even going back all the way to Vietnam. So as far as I know, she had admitting privileges and anything and everything else for me, and she was good.
Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was the no vote in committee, and I appreciate the good words of the senator from Park County. He probably outlined a couple of issues a lot better than I can. My greatest source of heartburn on this particular bill is that it kind of snuck up even on the nursing associations out there. I think they were quite pleased to discover that all of a sudden we might be throwing the door open for our advanced, practiced, registered nurses to have full privileges in the hospital. And one thing I want to emphasize here is that these are people that have privileges in the hospitals. There's a difference. There's full privileges, and the good senator from Natrona County pointed out that the federal government even outlines who they want admitting, and that's a quality of care issue, just like the senator from Park County pointed out. And there's allied health privileges. Now, these people already have allied health privileges. I suspect that what happened was we probably had a nurse out there somewhere who did not have full privileges and probably got sideways with a physician or two, couldn't have admission into the hospital as many times or as often as needed or wanted, and so this issue bubbled to the top. But I agree with the good senator in the back of the room. I think we've got to be really careful with this. This is a local control issue, too. Don't forget that. Your local hospitals have every right to have bylaws in place that they deem necessary to assure the quality of care that they want to have. I think we've got to be real cautious here.
Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We've gone down this road a couple times previously. I think it was about 11 or 12 years ago we had quite a discussion on this floor when the proposal came through to allow nurses, prescription authority, advanced practice nurses, prescription authority. And they now have essentially the same prescription authority as physicians do. We had this discussion 4 or 5 years ago when we completely revamped the scope of practice for nurses in our statutes, and particularly opened up the practice for advanced placement nurses. And one of the most discussed matters, including the person who is now a U.S. Senator here on the floor, was whether or not that was appropriate at that time to take advanced practice nurses out from underneath the direct supervision of physicians, which we did. And the recognition is that as a rural state, the fabric of health care provision in the state of Wyoming, especially in our most remote areas, is rather thin. As a result of the actions that Wyoming undertook, it gained national recognition for the work of advanced nurse practitioners and what they do in our community. Just by happenstance, the doctor I was seeing at that time, our family physician, moved out of Laramie and moved down to Fort Collins, and she advanced all of her patients over to an advanced nurse practitioner who I've been seeing for the last several years. So I guess if I go to her, especially after a legislative session, and she says, you need to be in a hospital, I would prefer that she be able to go and have me directly placed in Ivinson Hospital in Laramie rather than trying to say, okay, you need to go see a physician somewhere here in the community who can tell you the same thing, who can then put you into the hospital. I think that this bill closes an important gap that we have out in our rural areas and really just about anywhere in Wyoming concerning the practice of advanced nurse practitioners. And it continues the work that this body has started over 10 years ago, work that has gained national recognition for provision of primary care in rural areas.
Any further discussion? Is there a question? Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Scott's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation, a Senate File 50, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Senate File 50 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for your consideration is Senate File 76. Would the clerk please read the bill?
Senate File 76, sponsored by Senator Dockstader, State Loan and Investment Grants Criteria, an act relating to public funds. It was referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Bebout, Cooper, Honeycutt, Larson, and Martin. Senator Larson, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Senator Dockstetter.
Oh,
excuse me. Senator Larson.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rights report, it do so with a do pass favorable motion on Senate File 76. And, Mr. Chairman, there is an amendment, and I ask that the amendment be read in at this time.
Senate File 76, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 3, line 4.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the amendment and that further reading amendment be discontinued. And to explain both the amendment and the bill, I'd like to call on Senator Dockstetter.
Senator Dockstetter. Now you're ready. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill simply attempts to lessen the tax burden while giving your communities a little more flexibility while still applying for those state loans and investments as provided through the board, the loans and the grants, that program. The change comes on pages 2, lines 17 through 19, where the bill allows county to drop the mill from 11 to 10 on pages 3, lines 1 through 4, from 7 to 6 for the municipalities. And if it would be appropriate to Mr. Chairman, I did explain where the amendment fits in now, if that would be okay, and then proceed with the bill.
Go ahead.
The amendment has moved. Simply, we found that in discussing it in committee and with legal consultation that we needed to take the wording in page 2, lines 21 and 22, and duplicate it in lines 4 on page 3 after the word Constitution. Felt like it was needed to make the bill complete and whole, and ask your favorable approval on that amendment before we proceed with further explanation.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, I think I may have a problem with the amendment, and maybe the problem is I simply don't understand it, having just seen it. Mr. Chairman, the concern I have, and it's one I think the bill itself is addressing, is that what we have tended to do is condition the various state aid we give to our municipalities on them levying the full suite of taxes available so that the state aid is the marginal item that we get and they have to have their full taxes. And if we really want to have local control and local people having some say over their own taxes, we ought to do it the other way around, that the state aid is sort of the baseline and is available regardless of the taxes, and then your local taxes are set by your local governing boards, county commissioners or municipalities, based on do you need the marginal services that the taxes would then provide. And not something, we got to have this so that we can get the state aid. And I'm afraid this amendment adds a new condition with regard to the optional sales tax and makes the situation even worse. And maybe it's just moving something around that already exists that's a bad idea. But I really wonder if we wouldn't be better off to defeat the amendment.
Senator Dockstetter.
I'll let you decide on that. We felt like it was needed in both places in the bill in order for the bill to proceed.
Any further discussion? Has a question been called for? Are you ready for a question? Question has been called for. All those in favor of Senator Larson's motion to adopt the Standing Committee Number Amendment number 1 to Senate File 76. Please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
The motion to adopt Standing Committee number 1 to Senate File 76 has passed. We're back on the bill. Senator Dockstader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Let me continue now with my explanation. Over the years, the legislature has given towns and counties little authority or ability to do anything on their finances, especially when it comes to their finances. The legislature has to pass and provide state aid and revenue sharing measures. This process, I believe, can result in perhaps even more resentment from the cities and towns. One of the only areas that a municipality has for revenues comes with this mill levy. Municipalities cannot levy another tax. They can raise water and sewer rates, but this is an enterprise fund. It has to sustain itself with user fees. Now that the state is faced with a declining revenue stream, the municipalities have to rely on whatever the state allows. There's the optional penny sales tax. Most towns gain much from that tax, more so often than they do from their mill levy. Case in point, one town out west raises $90,000 from their 8 mills, but a fifth cent brings in $500,000. However, it should be noted that the optional penny is controlled ultimately by 50% of the voters in the county. And in times when taxes are not popular, is it possible that voters will not approve the additional cent in this tax climate that we have now? Do we have unintended consequences? Citizens hate the property tax and in anger could turn down the additional fifth cent. Why? Because the fifth cent is the only tax they have a direct connection to with their vote. So as in the case noted, a town could lose $500,000 from the additional 1 cent sales tax and is left with the $90,000 from the mill levy. Tradition in our state indicates that a town or county must be taxing to the fullest extent. Let me submit to you that if a town could offer its voters a reduction in their property taxes, perhaps they could be more agreeable to the additional 1 cent sales tax, the tax that best helps the community. Let's also keep in mind that many of those living within our rural communities often are the senior citizens. I have one mayor that simply says, let me lessen the tax load in my community for our seniors. Let me help those who are spending the rest of their lives in just one community, their hometown. So what does Senate File 76 do for you, for your towns, your cities, for your citizens? It offers some flexibility with the property taxes. It provides an opportunity to drop the mill threshold. It offers a chance for those in government to reduce taxes. Ask for your favorable approval. Stand for questions.
Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What this bill basically does, as you can see, is allow... This is an eligibility bill. Everybody needs to remember that. That isn't giving the grants or anything. It makes it a community eligible to go in and apply for the grant. When the grant gets before the board, they then consider what you're doing to help yourself, if you would, and how much money is available and all the other things. This is strictly making you eligible. What it does is it gives a local governing body the ability to decide, is it in our best interest for our citizens to impose the sales tax? In the case of my community, it definitely is. Or is it in the best interest to or have a higher property tax? And what this bill does is let you have, if the governing body decides to do that, lets them have a lower mill levy and puts in there, even still, unless they've imposed the additional sales tax bills. But this does not give them the award. It does not do that. It makes them eligible to apply, and that's all it's doing is changing the eligibility rules. It gives flexibility to local governments to do what is in their best interest, whether to have a higher property tax or a higher sales tax, and lets them have that option to be eligible to apply. And that's what the bill does, and I would urge you to support it.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman,
Maybe someone on the committee can refresh my memory, or maybe you had this discussion about the ability of local governments to rebate sales tax funds back to individuals to defer their property taxes or take their property taxes, give them a rebate. I think we've got a couple of programs like that that are county option. That aside, what this basically does is, from what I can tell, is we've always asked local communities to help themselves first. And if you help yourselves first, then the state will be there to help you out. What this is saying, I think, is that you don't have to help yourself as much before you are eligible for the state to help you out. And it's just one of those small little litmus tests that that we have in statute, and now we're lowering the bar. And I'm wondering, in this tight economic times, whether it's really the thing to do is to say to communities, don't tax yourself, the state's going to be there. Well, I think we're giving them false hope because, frankly, we all know that the budget isn't there give everybody as much money as they'd like, and now we're offering more competition for these particular grants to people who refuse to tax themselves.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, speaking on and for the bill, I think we've made a fundamental policy mistake in the way we've handled the aid to our local government. We have tended to make it conditional in many cases, and this is a case in point, on raising the full possibilities of local taxes. And the idea was the argument you just heard. They've got to help themselves first and then the state to come in. And the effect of that has been that we forced all the local communities to raise all the taxes. And then they come to us. And they tell their local citizens, you can't hold us responsible for these taxes we've put on you because we've got to do it in order to get the state aid, and we've got to have the state aid. And it's economically irrational not to raise the local tax. I think we ought to back up and make them go to the local voters for the marginal items, give the state aid as a basis on which they can build, and then go to the local voters for the marginal things. Because then you'd get the county commissioners, the municipalities, being responsible to their voters for the taxes they put on them and not able to blame us for those taxes. And you'd have a better discussion within the communities. Do we really need some of these functions? Do we need them as much, or should we get by with a lower tax? And I think you'd have much better government. This bill doesn't entirely correct that problem. It's a small step, but I think it's a very useful step for us to take, because I think the road we've gone down has been a mistake.
Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With reference to the questions from the senator from Goshen County, this bill does not tell people that they have to lower their taxes in order to be there. Number one, let's make it clear it's an eligibility. It allows local governments to determine how they wish to tax themselves. Whether they, in their community, wish to tax themselves with the additional sales tax, and I agree with the senator from Natrona County, the people have to be involved in that decision. They have to be voted on. They have to be willing to tax themselves. This bill only allows them to decide, is it in our best interest, after voted on the people, to have a higher sales tax and a lower property tax. That's all it does. It doesn't say that you because you're lowering it from 10 to 11, that you are going to do that. You don't do that unless you have the other means that are out there. Let's let the people for themselves figure out, and if it works in one county to have the high mill levies, so be it. Why would anybody want to tell them which of the two taxes that are out there they should have to use? What works for one doesn't work for all. And once again, this is an eligibility. When it gets before the board, they make those decisions on how much are you helping yourself, how much money is there. So this does not give anybody necessarily a false hope. It makes it so that they can be eligible to apply if they've taken these proper actions. And once again, I urge you to support the bill.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, Mr. Chairman, with the amendment, it in part, I think, does exactly what the good senator from Teton County says, gives the municipalities with the amendment the option as to whether or not they're going to have a sales tax or a mill levy. Before, they didn't have that option. The county did, but the municipality didn't. So I think the amendment did give that option, and I believe that's probably a good option. However, the bill itself does lower that threshold, and I guess I, from my perspective, and I think the perspective of previous legislative bodies, is that it's a fairness issue as to you have state funds, as to whether or not it's fair for some communities not to have any taxes and still receive state funds, and other communities to have to tax themselves to the fullest extent, both on the sales tax and the mill levies, and still not have enough to operate. While some communities have the luxury of high sales taxes or high property taxes, and for them to operate may not need quite as much tax authority, but yet they still want to have state funds. And so it's really a fairness issue, I think, Mr. Chairman, and I think that's why these have been made this way in the past. I think this bill should move forward because it gives the opportunity for the option for municipalities. However, I think the mill levies, reducing them probably wouldn't be the best answer in the sense of fairness.
Any further discussion? Senator Dockstetter.
Just in conclusion, Mr. Chairman, I think the fairness belongs, the decision on fairness belongs with the individual communities. It's about lowering a tax and giving your community the option of doing that. Thank you.
Call for the question. Question has been called for. All those in favor of Senator Larson's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, that it do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 76, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Senate File 76 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. You've heard the motion. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? The Committee of the Whole stands in a recess.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that the Senate be at recess until 2 p.m. this afternoon.
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. President, Revenue Committee will meet in 30 minutes, which is quarter past 12, up in S-16 in the corner, to take up Senate File 74, Subdivisions, Parcels.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, just to show that we work harder, your committee, your committee number six, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, will meet up in S-14 at 12:14 and get an extra minutes worth of work in, where we will discuss Senate File 70, local prohibition of poker, and Senate File 78, illegal fish stocking.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number one, Judiciary, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. in S-1 to consider the following bills: Senate File 25, liens; Senate File 65, termination of parental rights; and Senate File 68, Supreme Court peace officer.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, your committee number 12, Rules, will meet tomorrow, Wednesday, February 17th at 7:30 in the morning. And, Mr. President, we will meet in S-5, your office, to consider Senate File 53, Obsolete Laws, General Revisions, and Senate File 54, Confirmation of Appointments.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. With respect to the meetings for JAC this afternoon, I think we'll go into S-14 primarily because it's easy for access for people to come off the floor to get their bills through. Mr. President, the members of the JAC will have received their budgets. You've got the lunchtime to look over the final budget. We'll be meeting at 1 o'clock to sign the budgets. And you should all have your budgets, I hope, by tomorrow morning, maybe later this afternoon.
You've heard Senator Schiffer.
Mr. President, may I have the privilege of the floor?
You may.
Mr. President, with the budget bill out, for those of us that want to put in a budget amendment, are we ready to start that process in terms of page and line and all the rest of the mechanics of doing?
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you. The answer is yes. The budget amendment will be out, I hope it will be out in final draft so that people can make amendments. You'll recall that there are no amendments on Committee of the Whole, but that doesn't prohibit you from getting your amendments ready and getting them lined out. Then the first amendments are amendments on or for the second reading, which will be Tuesday. Having said that, you should be able to get your amendments ready, hopefully this week.
You've heard the motion that the Senate stand in recess until 2 p.m. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
As opposed, no. Senate is recessed.